Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Stephen Caple Jr. is with us. He's Cleveland born and raised. Right, Stephen?
Definitely.
It's an amazing story. I mean, you're 30 years old. You're directing this huge movie. What a huge accomplishment. I mean, it's amazing. There's not a lot of people at your age accomplishing what you're accomplishing in this business. Congratulations.
Yeah, you're right. I'm taking that in right now. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, is there not? Yeah, there's not. It's very few of us, you know what I mean, at this age. Like I said, I'm super blessed, man. I'm just happy to be here. And it's just really cool, man. I mean, I'm still in the moment. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm trying to take it all in. This process and creating this film has been tough. And so, again, now to just finally be done and the world to be seeing it, it's insane.
When when Stallone made the first Rocky, you weren't even born.
I wasn't
you weren't
born.
Even born.
Wait, when Stallone made Rocky 1, 2, 3, yeah. and 4.
That's true. That's true.
I wasn't even born. Like, the first Rocky I saw was 5. Don't get mad at everybody. The first one I saw was 5. I was
right.
a kid, man.
Yeah.
It was likely I probably saw it with him watching it on TV in rotation. But,
right.
Yeah, when watching it, you know what I mean, I didn't know that people didn't like it. I didn't know that wasn't the best. I was a kid, so I was like, Tommy Gunn, like he played Rocky. I was like amped up. Thank you.
Oh, man, yeah, right. That's it's considered the worst of the bunch. I like them all. That would be my least favorite of the bunch.
Agreed.
So before we get to the movie, let's talk about your career and your first movie, really, your big movie. I mean, obviously, you were making movies along the way, but The Land, which was at the Sundance Film Festival.
Correct.
Yeah. And that came out in 2016, right?
2016, yes.
And talk about that, how you got to that point. It gets picked up, and rest is history now.
It got picked up, man, by IFC. They pushed the movie out. But I mean, before that, I only had a short.
Right.
You know, and some work that I've done, some music videos and things like that. But, yeah, I got the support of, like, Machine Gun Kelly, who's from here. I had an artist named Esri, who's from Cleveland, Ohio, also on the film. So for all of us to come together and make that movie and then have it do what it did, which is play around the United States mainly, but then also end up being on Netflix and just having it out there in the universe felt good because it's so small and intimate. It's a personal film. But then right after that, I started writing, man. I started writing my next joint.
Yeah,
got deep into that, and then out of nowhere, these guys called and was like,
right.
"We saw The Land. We want you to do a sequel to Creed 2."
What was your reaction when you got that call?
I was stuck. You know what I mean? To be totally honest with you, I was stuck. I was a bit excited, but at the same time, it's a sequel.
Yeah,
you know, and I didn't want a Rocky 5 scenario, as you were just saying. I didn't want it to be your least favorite.
Yeah, right.
So I was really like, man, I wanted to. I proceeded with caution.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It wasn't. Until I was in the studio, I read the script because Sly had wrote the first draft.
Yeah.
And they're like, Sly felt like he found the structure, which is true. I can't spoil it for you. You got to check it out.
Yeah.
He found a structure and formula that works throughout the series. And it was like he wanted to add more meat to the Adonis Creed storyline.
Sure.
Younger generation. He like wants jokes to hit, all kind of stuff. And so they brought me on, did a rewrite pass with a friend of mine named Joel. And then, you know, they greenlit it. And next thing you know, probably like a month later, I was out in Philly.
Yeah. Doing this,
man.
And Michael B. Jordan is one of my favorite young actors. I mean, he was Black Panther. He was the bad guy in that, and he was amazing in that movie. And he was great in Creed. And I know Stallone had said that he did as well as anybody has ever done playing a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Stallone should have won Best Supporting Actor.
I did too, man.
Right? And that was great. So you said you didn't, you know, at first you were nervous because it was a sequel.
Yep.
What made you eventually come around? You said, this is too big a project. No, I can't pass on this.
No, it wasn't even that, man.
Yeah.
To be honest, like I go with projects, but just by feeling. It's
okay.
A weird thing. You know what I mean? I go by like, if it feels right, if I have something to say and add. And are they going to let me?
Right.
It's a studio movie.
Sure.
An independent one. It's like you can do whatever you want. You can float. You want to do skateboarding and kids rolling around Cleveland, Ohio. You're allowed to do it. So I was really trying to figure out whether or not Sly and Mike felt good. You know, so when I met these guys, I was like, how much does, you know, how much creative freedom will Sly allow and how does Mike feel?
Because
he hasn't done many movies outside of Ryan Coogler since they first connected.
Sure.
So those were conversations to be had. Met with Mike, we clicked instantly, loved his vision, he loved where I was going, and Sly legit was like, dude, I need you to put your own stamp stamp on this and that. That was exciting. We just geeked out together and watched Rocky clips on it in his office, and like seeing him get stoked up got me excited. I was like, let's do this.
What I love about the Rocky series, beyond the fighting, which is great, it's the personal stories, right? There's the connection with his wife, mm-hmm. there, or his girlfriend at first, and then his wife, the connections with Paulie, the relationship he and Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed have, these relationships, and his relationship with his manager, mm-hmm. of course. This, you know, sometimes that stuff, maybe to some fans, just think about the boxing and they forget about the relationships. I think that's a cool part of all the Rocky series.
Yeah, correct, man. I mean, at the core of it, that's what it's always about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, the successful ones.
Right.
You know, he goes back to those themes that are important, which is ultimately evolve around the family umbrella.
Right.
And so when meeting with Sly and talking about this, it's like, where can we bring Rocky in this new chapter, which I can't spoil for you guys. You have to check it out. But what's new in his life? Or what does he have to patch up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Same with Creed, what's going on with him and Bianca? You know what I mean? And that's what I really focused on. I really hit the relationship aspect in this one. I really took the Dragos somewhere different.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I feel like everyone had to have like this cohesive theme, you know, within their storylines. And at the end of the day, it's supposed to be about what happens outside the ring. It's supposed to be about like the characters in the corner, not necessarily the fight itself. You know, Sly was very adamant about like, hey man, people are going to, you can do whatever you want in the fight.
Yeah.
As long as people are rooting for someone and actually care about their story, you know.
Stephen Caple Jr. is with us. He is Cleveland born and raised. He is the director of Creed 2. Can't wait to see it. I have tickets to see it on a week from tonight. Actually, I'm going to visit family in New Jersey for Thanksgiving, and I'll be going 1 week from tonight to see the movie. I don't really want to wait a week, but
yeah.
I'm going to see it with some family members there. So I got to wait a week, as painful as that may be, because I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm curious, it seems like, you know, being a filmmaker is hard. Obviously, there's a lot of people that try to do it and don't have any success. But it seems like it would be a great time with all the avenues, with Netflix, with Amazon, with all these other avenues that weren't there years ago. Is it a great time to be a filmmaker?
No, it is, man, because now you don't have to take it to every major studio.
Right.
I mean, Netflix is in a position they can do anything they want. You know, Amazon being similar, coming up with their content. Hulu, they have content. I mean, Disney's even trying to do something that's just online-based. They're trying to create their own channel.
Yeah.
And at one point, they were trying to pull off stuff. They're pulling away from Netflix, like trying to pull all the Marvel films, et cetera. So that was interesting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now it's like, it's a really exciting time. It's like, you know, you could put out content anywhere. YouTube Red.
Yes,
you know,
everything.
Like legit. So I think as a filmmaker coming up, you have these outlets beyond film festivals. And then as someone who's always trying to pitch to studios or get a movie made, you know, if you have that platform, you have a fan base. You know, they see, one, obviously dollars behind your name, and you can go do what you want on these other platforms. You don't necessarily have to knock on a studio and say you only do, you know, these type of movies or only do remakes, you know?
I gotcha. Yeah. It's fascinating. You know, as a movie goer myself, I love going to the movies. I love watching movies in the theater. I hate watching the previews because I think a lot of movies, the previews give away the movie, especially with action movies or like superhero movies, and I love those movies. I can't stand that. I have purposely avoided the trailer.
It's good.
I purposely avoided it. Do you have any say in the trailer?
So I had say in the first teaser.
Okay.
The reason being, thanks to Mike, because Mike has star power now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, because creatively, we were on the same page.
Yeah.
And the studio wanted to make a trailer. And since our schedule was so tight, we did a teaser trailer. It didn't have to be trailer number one.
Right, okay.
So our first trailer we put out, you know, the DNA song we had in there by Kendrick Lamar. The way we revealed the Dragos. Did you see the first trailer at least?
I should watch the first trailer.
Because it doesn't give away much.
Yeah.
The second trailer, I was making a movie. They did the thing. You know, they were like, we got to put a little bit more in it, you know, so we can show people what they're coming back to.
Right.
I'm excited, which I get.
Yeah.
But to be totally honest, since, you know, we're on the radio and keeping it real.
Yeah.
You know, it was hard for me because I am that guy that doesn't want to reveal anything.
Right.
But I also understood that, you know, when I heard people and even women talk about, like, oh, I don't want to see just another boxing movie. I was like, oh, they think it's going to be a boxing movie. So we have to incorporate some things. Like, there's a moment where the Creed has a baby. It's in the trailer. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right.
But, you know, those are kind of things. Now you have to, like, put it in the trailer. And thank you for Annapurna, who put the trailer together. That they show glimpses of it. They didn't get too deep into it. Because there is a lot of story.
Yeah.
But to be honest, there are a lot of characters and there's a lot of stuff that's not in the trailer.
So I always like to be surprised. I don't want to, especially a lot of times with comedies, they give away
the
best
whole
jokes.
Thing, yeah, and it's like you're in the theater and you expect it, and you're like, oh, it's coming up, and I'm like, man, it was such a good one. It's tough, man. Like, I think I'm okay with teasers. I seen the Widows. You guys seen Widows are coming out too.
No,
they had a really cool trailer. I think
okay,
came out today or something.
All right,
I'm not promoting the movie. I'm just giving a shout out. But I know because I'm a movie buff too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, so I watch and study this stuff.
Right,
I mean, I'm kind of like, how much can we give away? How much can we hold for surprise? Like, it was very. I really wanted to in the first teaser. I really wanted to show a piece of Drago. Okay. Everyone knew he was coming back.
Yeah, right.
And you don't get that piece to him until the very end. The last frame is literally his back. Boom! You see Drago. People went bananas.
I don't blame you. I can't wait. I'm going bananas.
That to me is a good teaser, man. But yeah, so far as the studio system, they got like these number things that they go by and test runs. They know what it is. I just go by like what I feel, and I'm like, I'd rather be surprised.
Steven, as a kid in Cleveland, could you have imagined making it in Hollywood?
You always imagine it, but you never know the route and how it's going to happen. So, yeah, I was always like, man, you know, one day when I grow up,
you know,
I want to make movies and, you know, and tell stories. And then when you're in it, you're so focused in it, you don't realize, oh, I just did my first explosion scene, or I just did my first pyro thing. Like, it just starts to happen later. And then now where I sit back, it's not till I come home and I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming back with my second film, and it's surreal, you know, like to just be in the presence of family and just showcase. Like, now I'm having that moment today, to be really honest with you. Like, today's the day where I'm stepping back and be like, dang, man, because the Cleveland feels it. It's a different energy. When you out in Hollywood and on the red carpet, they're all like taking pictures. I don't know, you feel like they're supposed to.
Yeah, Ben, stop taking pictures, will you?
Ah, he's taking pictures all around me. Flash is going on. As I said it, he was like,
yeah, right.
But then when you come here, and it's all love, you can take pictures all day.
Yeah.
When I come here, they'll, one, let you know something's good or bad.
Right.
And two, everyone's so genuine, you know what I mean? So it's different here, you know what I mean? Like, if the film does here and you guys rock with it, I'm like, that's dope. That's satisfying.
Who were your influences as a kid in terms of filmmaking?
In filmmaking?
Yeah.
As filmmakers, I love Alfred Hitchcock. Huge Martin Scorsese fan, my favorite director.
Okay.
Him and Alfred, man. Alfred was taking some risks.
But Alfred Hitchcock is before your time. How did
he
is.
Oh,
how
film you, studies, man. I
you
got
just got into it.
Well, I already liked his movies. That's just a movie.
Rear Window?
Rear Window's my favorite movie. Yeah. You've been doing research?
That's my favorite. I love Rear Window. I didn't know that.
Favorite
I didn't know.
Film. Yeah. Like, no. Like, kid you not. Movie. Like, my wife took me to go see it on my birthday. Like, they did. They played it in the theater out in L.A. I was so stoked. It was like the best birthday gift. I never saw it in the theater. That's one of my favorite movies. Disturbia kind of had that little vibe. It kind of, I don't know if you remember Disturbia with Shia LaBeouf. They try to mimic that style.
I don't think I saw it.
Crazy.
I don't think I saw it.
No, Martin Scorsese is my favorite, man. Probably of all time, bro.
Favorite movie by him?
Favorite movie by him is Raging Bull.
Doesn't get much better than that.
No, Raging Bull, favorite movie. Alfred Hitchcock, Rear Window. Love Tarantino.
Yeah.
Reservoir Dogs, obviously. Spike Lee favorite movies, Malcolm X. Just naming directors and their favorite movies. I kind of strangled off the dome. Yeah, I love filmmaking, man. Like, I just study a lot of work. You know what I mean? It could be old. Bicycle Thief, one of my favorite films of all time. It's a movie, Chop Shop, by Ramin Barani. He's like a little bit older than me. I admire his film work. Check these out, man. These are like, Shaka King is a new filmmaker coming up. I'm giving him a huge shout out because I think he has that gift. I just love movies.
Do you, when it comes to actors, you know, obviously for this movie, you're dealing with established stars.
Yeah.
What was
with
that?
No talent, you know, Michael B. Jordan, you need to work on your acting skills.
Yeah, right. I first started, the first thing I saw him in, well, he was in The Wire.
He was in The Wire.
When he was a kid.
Yep.
And then what's funny is I somehow, terrible job at me, never watched The Wire for years.
Yeah.
And then this summer, my wife and I binged the whole show.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell did I not watch? This is the best show ever.
Nah, it's a good show, man.
And, you know, and then he was in Parenthood.
He was in Parenthood.
Right.
I saw him in Hardball.
Right, with Keanu Reeves.
That's the first time I saw him, was in Hardball.
I didn't even realize he was in that.
Yep, that's crazy.
That was a good movie.
Nah, it was a good film.
Yeah, I like
that. It was a good
that.
Movie, man. It was a good sports film for sure. The first time I saw him was that. He was Wallace in The Wire. Like, he's been around for a while. We don't remember that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's now, like, on top of the game.
Right.
But he didn't come out of nowhere. He's been really in a lot of projects.
But what was that adjustment like? Because before that, you hadn't worked. Was it an adjustment? You said you met with them and you had great chemistry. Yep. Is it any different working with superstars?
Yeah, no, it's completely different, man. You know, first, they fly jets. That's different.
Yeah.
No, I'm just realizing too. I also worked with almost all the cast members of The Wire. I worked with Michael K. Williams on The Land. He was in it. He plays Omar in The Wire.
He's coming to Cleveland.
Is he?
When
is
he coming? He put out a. I don't know if it's a documentary. I was just reading about it because my wife was telling me about it this morning. I can't remember now. It's either a documentary or something. He's coming to do a talk here.
Okay.
He's amazing.
No, he is. He's a great dude.
He's incredible.
Man. He is, yeah.
What's he done? I feel like I haven't seen him in anything.
He was
lately.
In Assassin's Creed. He was in a show called Night Of. He was in.
He was in Night. That's right. Yeah, right. That was
doing
a good show.
Stuff, man. He's doing a lot of stuff with Viceland.
Yeah, okay.
He does a lot of stuff with them. He's a huge activist, dude. But yeah, it's different because you're working with unknown actors.
Right.
So at that state, like, you're trying to just make sure they're natural and on screen as possible. You're not trying to take away from that. Because sometimes the last movie had a lot of kids in it. So I was just making sure that, you know, they didn't turn into actors and started portraying different people.
Gotcha.
These guys are different because I can just give them a specific direction and they know these characters already. So it was less creating the character but more guidance and taking them to new places. Tessa's different working with her.
Right.
She improvs very well, bro. She's like, she's out of the set. She's the one to watch out for. She's great.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson, man. She plays Bianca in the film. She was in the movie Annihilation recently. She plays Valkyrie.
Okay.
In, Thor.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Thor's great. Yeah.
Her range, man. Whoo.
Yeah.
Whoo. She makes Mike better. Mike. You heard that?
Yeah. We're talking with Stephen Campbell Jr., director of Creed 2. Which I haven't seen yet, unfortunately, but I will be going a week from today. Can't wait. First one was great. Did you love the first one?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. I dug it a lot, man. It felt good to see Rocky again come back. You know what I mean? Like, it felt grounded still. That's what I liked about it. It wasn't too over the top. And the fight, you know what I mean? It felt like they showed Philly in a different light.
Yeah.
And most importantly, man, I don't know, man, as a black person watching the film and seeing Adonis Creed portrayed the way he was, you know, not the cliche stereotype.
Sure.
Like, he had a rough background, but then, you know, went to school. He was smart. He wasn't stubborn. He wasn't like Apollo Creed showboating.
Right.
He didn't fall into that hype, and you see those characters a lot, even from Clubber Lang. You saw it in Apollo Creed.
Right.
You even saw it in Balboa, you know, with Tarver. Tarver, he's like, no. Oh, my God, I'm blanking over. I think it was Tarver.
Yes. No, you're right. Yes. You're right.
He was
Tony
all
Tarver,
like
yes.
Big mansion, cars. Women,
right. Right. Right.
Like,
yes.
I was like, I was tired of seeing that, and then
right.
You know, seeing Adonis, I connected with him more. So I got excited. So when I, you know, going on to the project,
that's cool, and that's good because you want to have characters that are role models.
Exactly, man.
Right.
And universal. Like we, you know, the themes are universal. Like in our lives and in yours, I'm pretty sure. You know, there's similarities. So it's kind of like, you know, I just love seeing films like that. That break that stereotype and that cliche hold, that box. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, when you pigeonhole everybody, you know, there's this NFL reporter who put a tweet out the other day. It says, all Cleveland fans are this. So nobody's this of anything, right?
Yeah.
Race, religion, sexual orientation, sex, whatever, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We're not all the same, and we're all a little bit the same, and we're all a little bit different, right?
Yeah,
that doesn't matter. So to pigeonhole everybody is everybody of this, whatever, is like this, is stupid.
It's unfair. Yeah. No, completely, man. I don't think anybody should pigeon-toe, man, at all. You know, so that's interesting.
When if they, I'm assuming there'll be a Creed 3. I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming. Will you do it again? Will you want to direct the next one?
I would step back into it. I love the family so much.
Yeah,
man. Like that was fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it was tiring. Don't get me wrong. We had some really hard moments.
But, yeah,
man, working with Mike, working with Sly, working with Tess.
Yeah.
And then once you see it, man, we got this new dude, Florian, man, who plays Drago's son.
Yeah.
Monster. He's a monster. And I was like, man, if they could somehow even bring him back.
Yeah.
I just love it, man. It's a different feel when you're on that set and you do it with people that you love.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a sequel or not after that. You know, it just matters, like, I love coming back to it. So we'll see what they do. We'll see what the studios want to do.
I mean, in Creed 3, would it be like Clubber Lang's kid or would it be Tommy Gunn's kid?
We thought about that. I was trying to fit Clubber Lang into the sequel. I was like, man, is there a room for him? I was like, the Dragos take up too much space.
Yeah. Mr. Teast, I mean, what's he doing these days?
I don't know. We were trying to get a hold of him. I was like, I was curious, man. I remember talking to Sly about it and he was like, can we even get a hold of this dude? And his concern was, again, if we got the Dragos in there, would it be too much overload on him?
Right.
You'll
see
when you see the film because there's a lot of the Dragos in. Would that be too much? But I think it'll wherever organically the story flows, they'll go with. You know what I mean? As long as it feels like we're not forcing it. I don't want it to become, you know, we don't want to become a Rocky Five.
Sure. What's next for you? Do you have the next project already?
I'm going to take in this moment right now, to be totally honest with you. Again, I'm going to go back to writing what I was writing before this and really try to get that off the ground. But I think I was writing a piece on the first African-American NASCAR driver, Wendell Scott. And he just has a really interesting story. He spent a lot of time in Virginia with his family. And so I'm going to just step back, finish writing that, and look up, because I got a lot of stuff coming my way. So I just want to read a bit, you know, fill it out.
Do you live in L.A. now?
I do.
Do you enjoy living in L.A.?
I don't. It's not my favorite place.
But at least you don't have winter.
Sorry, L.A.
Is that all right?
We don't have winter. It's okay. I mean, sometimes I miss it here. I don't miss working in the winter.
Yeah.
I don't mind winter. It's the getting up, snow on your windshield, can't unlock your door, cold. That's what I don't mind. I miss the fall. It's one of my favorite seasons of all. But nah, it's a different vibe out there.
Right. You know? Are you a big Indians, Cavs, Browns fan?
Of course. Oh, I got Nuggets in the film, too. Wait till y'all see it with the throwing the Browns and the
Oh, really?
But yeah, completely.
Which was your favorite of the three as a kid?
Cavs.
Cavs, number one.
Cavs, yeah, I'm a huge LeBron James fan. You know,
is it hard? Well, at least he's in L.A. Do you go see him there?
Nah, it's not the same, man. I went to the game. I went to their first game at home. My dad would tell you. I'm like, oh, I'm excited to go see LeBron. Look at that poster up there. That makes me want to cry.
Right.
No, always believe. I did LeBron. I did.
Yeah.
Nah, he won the ring. He brought it home. You can't even knock him for that. That's beautiful. He played his heart out last year. And you felt it. You felt that he was probably going to head out. But it's weird seeing him in a Lakers jersey. To be
bizarre.
Honest, I'm like, it doesn't fit right. I don't know what this team is over here. I was like, Lance Stephenson. I'm confused. Ball. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And so you know, I try to tweet or Instagram and say I'm here to see LeBron. I don't know about this Lakers. But the Cavs, we got a lot of work to do, obviously.
What's the number one reason that comes to mind for you as to why people should go see Creed 2?
Because more than just the fights, you're going to get the nostalgia you love about the entire series. We definitely did a new, fresh approach.
Everybody go see it. It's going to be great. I'm so angry that I didn't go to the premiere yesterday because I couldn't get there in time. Because we refused to – I couldn't go because if I was going to miss 5 minutes, I can't have it. I got to see the whole thing 1 week from tonight. I can't wait. Everybody see Creed 2. It's going to be awesome. Stephen Cable Jr., best of luck. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yo, thank you.
Are we going to take a quick break? We'll come back with more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.